Hi, you are back with the ATC Hour. This is Magneto Mel on EAA Radio. And we're sitting here with the some controllers from around the globe. We've got Lutz Prischoff, who works in the German...
Frankfurt Center.
And Grant Anderson. What exactly, where do you work these days?
Well, I've been bounced around all over, but the last couple of years, I've sort of backed my way into Springfield, Missouri, of all places.
Oh, okay. I pass through there a couple times a year.
The I-44.
The I-44, yep. Yeah, going from Oak City to St. Louis. And then and Kelly Richardson. Do you actually do any
Thank God for everybody that's out there flying that I do not. No, I just work for NACA. I work for the labor union, so okay. I am an employee. I actually kind of in a roundabout way work for Grant.
God bless me. I'll use that to my advantage later on, I'm sure.
No, seriously. Scary thing.
And Kelly, Luke works for me.
No, that's really scary.
What Kelly may lack in an air traffic knowledge, he makes up for by doing a great job as far as keeping things going with NACA.
Okay. Well,
and he owes me now.
And he owes you. Oh, there you go.
So do I have to say he's doing a good job for me as well? Am I going to owe you then?
Oh, you already owe me.
Okay. He's doing a great job.
For him, remember?
Yeah, he works for me.
I think we have
to bring foreigners over to do all of my dirty work.
I think
work.
We have to use the term work a bit loosely here.
Well, I mean, everybody's very familiar here in the aviation world with air traffic control and what they do. And people pretty much think, if they're not involved specifically in aviation, that it's all those people in towers with binoculars and that's the whole nine yards. Maybe tell people a little bit about, I mean, what does NATCA do and what is the organization?
NATCA, Grant can probably fill some of the holes. I'll just give a basic. We're the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. We're the labor union that represents all of the federal air traffic controllers. We also represent controllers and contract towers, not all of them, but some of the contract towers, DOD controllers. We represent everything from aircraft certification, engineers, people that design airports, FAA employee architects that design
aviation
airports, air
nurses.
Traffic and towers, AIP people that dispense AIP funding. We represent about a little over 15,000 employees within the FAA. About 15,000 air traffic controllers and about another 1,000 non-air traffic controllers. So we represent a wide range of people within the FAA that all, in some kind of a roundabout way, work together to make the NAS work.
Okay.
So, you know, we have people doing just about everything. And
I see that, Lutz, you've got the shirt with the union
okay,
there. So
yeah.
How does that compare...
We don't have a Kelly.
Can't compare.
We don't have a Kelly working for us. I'm not trying to rope him in and get him over to Germany. I work for the GDF, the Gewerkschaft der Flugsicherung, which is basically the Air Traffic Controllers Union in Germany. Although it's not, again, an Air Traffic Controllers Union. It's which is why it's called the Trade Union for Air Navigation Services. We also represent not only air traffic controllers, but we represent administrative personnel. We have a big section where we represent technicians. The union is obviously much smaller. We have actually, I think the last time I was there, we're hitting about 4,000, which is pretty big for Germany, but still a very small union. We're a very small specific union for air traffic, but we represent the same as NATCA does, a wide range of services and people who work in the air traffic business. I just happened to be here a couple of years ago, hooked up with Kelly, and one thing led to the other, and
we bring him back every
and here
year.
You are. Yeah.
I'm kind of the special envoy to NATCA.
You know, you say something that kind of intrigues me a little bit, because you say you all represent about 4,000 air traffic controllers in Germany.
Not air traffic controllers, air traffic service personnel.
Air traffic service personnel, because I'm just thinking, because, you know, Cleveland Center operates or controls more aircraft in that one facility than all of Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And there's what, 400 air traffic controllers that work
True
there?
True enough, right.
Well, so, yeah, that's the bane of my boss's life. He usually comes to the States and he goes, I don't understand. In America, 400 people are doing the job of 2,000 in Germany. How is that? Are those guys better than you? And we go, yeah, they're probably better than us. One of the things you have to remember in Europe, you're talking about a conglomeration of states. I've been in a couple of the facilities here, amongst others, Chicago, Washington, and you have one big country, and it's all controlled from one central point. And just to give you a little example, I was sitting at the Chicago Center one time, and there was a flight going to Newark. And just as he was heading over Chicago, they started reducing the speed because Newark was down with the weather. So I'm thinking, well, from Chicago to Newark is quite a way to fly. And I said to the guy, well, how can you just do that? And he goes, yeah, sure. Some lady came around with a board, and she said, well, this is Newark, and one, he had the call sign, and he just did it. And I said, well, let me explain to you how this would work in Europe if I had wanted to attempt to do something like that. I would be sitting in the Frankfurt Area Center. The first guy I would phone is Brussels, is the neighboring country. Brussels would connect me to Maastricht, which is the upper airspace. He would connect me to Clacton. Now we've reached England. Clacton would connect me to Manchester, Manchester to Prestwick. Now we're leaving England, going to Ireland. So I'm in Shannon. He would then connect me to Iceland. At that stage, somebody would be killing himself laughing. I mean, there's no ways. Never going to happen. I mean, I don't even have the scope to even go anywhere near that.
I don't have the scope to follow what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, I've just passed like eight countries. And I mean, in reality, the only way I can influence what happens in my neck of the woods is by maybe phoning my neighbor. So for me, it would be France, the guys that work Reims ACC, and Zurich. And those are the only guys I can really get a grip on. Here's another example. I have a friend who flies Airbus 320s. He sits in Venice, Italy. It's about a 1.5 hour flight from where we're at. And the fog was moving into Venice, and there were slots at Frankfurt because we were pretty busy. And the next thing, he pitches up on the scope, and I'm, what are you doing here? And he says, well, we're out of Venice. And I say, I know, but you're only supposed to be an hour later. And he goes, I'll explain it to you when I land. Anyway, the story is, he was sitting in Venice, the sea fog was moving in, and he basically got on the Venice tower controller's case until the Italian finally said, what the hell, just get airborne. I don't care. He doesn't care what happens in Frankfurt. That's like two countries down the road. Now, to equate that to distance, that would probably be like D.C. and New York maybe.
Right.
And a New York guy can't just say, well, I don't give a crap what's going on in D.C. I'll just let him go. Because you have one system with one authority that regulates everything. We have 20 countries or 24 countries where everybody does their own thing, and nobody really gives a damn what anybody else
consummate
is doing.
Consummate passing the buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This brings up a great point with this, too. I mean, of some of the challenges here in the U.S. with that size and scope of the system that has a seamless integration working is again unique, but those are challenges involved with modernization and everything else. It goes from not only personnel to equipment as far as trying to bring that up to speed to where the equipment that you work with looks like Star Wars compared to a lot of the stuff that's here in the U.S. But you can take an off the shelf system that's in and of itself works but your interface with the other countries or other entities.
Well, that's the whole thing. You're actually not. And that's the big problem. Again, when we buy a system for Germany. In Germany, we have, I think, three or four different systems running.
And your system may not be talking to operate with somebody.
Just an example. I sit in a center where we have two FIRs, basically. It would be like Washington Center and, let's say, Atlanta Center. And we sit in the same room. It's a 25,000 square foot facility. And we have the identically looking radar, but they're not compatible. So we actually loop via an outside unit because the two radar scopes, which look identical, made by the same company, but they don't talk to each other. And then the French buy a different system. The Italians buy it. There's a lot of politics
Wonderful
involved.
Wonderful human factors right there.
Yeah, and I know why our system's so old.
And of course, one of the things people forget as well about America, you have a homogenous pilot group who all speak English. I always say 90% of my customers don't speak English well.
Variation, at least.
Till you get the Brit talking to the guy from New York, and they can't figure out what each other's saying to save their life, either of them.